You're listening to Old New Borrowed Blue on 2SER with your host, Joel Kassam.
Hello and welcome to Old New Borrowed Blue on 2SER 107.3. Joel Kassam is my name. I hope you're doing very well and thank you for joining me this week. If you're new to the show, this is where I invite a special guest into the studio and they take the musical reins by playing four of their favourite songs. All right, let's find out who we've got this week. My guest today is undoubtedly one of Australian comedy's rising stars. He's performed all over the country, including at the Commonwealth Games Festival and at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Recently seen on Have You Been Paying Attention and currently performing at Sydney Fringe Comedy, it's the very funny Dane Simpson. Welcome, Dane.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks awesome. For coming in, mate. Look, you are definitely taking the country by storm, but for those who aren't yet familiar with you, yep. Can you tell us a bit about yourself?
I live in Wagga Wagga, which I love leading with because it's a little bit different. Everyone usually lives in Sydney and Melbourne. My family come from Walgett, which is like outback New South Wales. I love doing the joke that I do, particularly on stage. But it's a true story. It is like it's 80% Aboriginal people. I like to say that makes it 20% cops, but it's such a it's cool to be in this town that's got so much culture and so many really cool things. And I reckon a lot of my comedy sort of stems from that, just spinning a yarn when you during the day.
Cool. When did you move down to Wagga Wagga then?
I moved to Wagga when I was about four, but my dad moved back to Wagga. My mum and dad split up. And we'd go there during the school holidays and stuff. And Dad would take us out, and we'd go fishing and just doing real sort of blackfella things, just hanging out. Yeah, it's
all
really
right,
cool.
Cool, very cool. So when did you discover then that you wanted to do comedy?
It's been a very short time for me. So I've been doing comedy about 3 years, which is ridiculous. Right. And the amount of opportunities and stuff that have come, I'm just so thankful for, but it's happening so quick. It's really cool too, because I get to hang out with these celebrities who are really awesome. And I fanboy massive over these people, and you shouldn't, because these guys are I'm meant to be doing a show with them, but I'm like, you're Tom Gleason. Like, that's you're the coolest. Yeah, and it's just so fun. It's ridiculous. I love it.
What got you into it?
So I'm a DJ, and for years, and I do all the techie stuff as well. And a comedian came to town, and he was doing an outback tour. So he was going to places like Walgett, Bourke, real outback New South Wales. And he said, I don't know how to set up speakers, microphones, all that type of stuff. Can you do it for me? And I was like, absolutely. This will be heaps of fun. On the way, we're driving 9 hours each day. I was spinning a yarn, and I was just saying, this happened to my family. My dad, he's a bit of an idiot, and I'll tell you a yarn about this. And we were just swapping stories. And the comedian said to me, you should tell that story on stage before I go out tonight. And we're in a town called Narrabri, and I'm like, absolutely, full of confidence in the car.
Yes.
come start a stage. I was packing me Dax, and he's physically pushed me out on stage and just back announced me, just, welcome to the stage, Dane Simpson. It's his first time, ladies and gentlemen. And it's one of those make or break, sink or swim moments. I grabbed the mic and told the story. My delivery would have been absolutely terrible, but the stories are funny. And it's those, this is why I believe everyone can do comedy, because you know that yarn that you spin, it would be just that story. Like, you tell it either at the pub, over dinner, to your family, friends, whoever it is. You tell the story, and you tell it almost every year. You might do it at Christmas time. It's just changing that to putting it on stage.
Yeah, Okay. So you said a lot of your, like a lot of them are stories about your family and stuff, right?
Yep.
How do they feel about it?
So my dad features heavily in my show. And the reason why is because he's an idiot, right? He does the dumbest of things and it's great. I put him in situations on purpose these days and see what kind of gold I can mine from it. He loves it. He comes after most shows he comes to. He'll hang around and then he'll either try and make his way on stage so that he can get a little bit more like props from the crowd, or at minimum he's standing up and waving to people going, yeah, that's me. like the
so he wears it like a badge of honor.
Oh, absolutely. Loves it. My mum, not so much. She likes it that I talk about it, obviously, because I love my mum. She's so beautiful. But the thing is that she's super tight with her money, and I love telling stories and telling people what she's been up to, and these things where she will do anything to save a dollar, and it's brilliant. And she doesn't like that very much. But the thing is that it's true, so you can't really deny it.
Okay. So how do you remember all these stories? Do you write them down when they happen, or do you think back, or do other family members remind you?
It's a combination of all that. Mm-hmm. it's so funny because at the time, it's sort of one of those things where sometimes you're too close to the elephant to know it's an elephant. I get really frustrated at my dad. Like, he does the dumbest of things. And then later on in life, maybe about 2 or 3 days later, I'll go, oh, actually, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Particularly like, because when he, so this story springs to mind, and the way he eats is horrible. Like, he's just and it's gross. And he's having breakfast and he's there with his partner, Wendy. And I'm like, Dad, you should close your mouth when you chew. Like, you're not the smartest of people, are you? Like, if you can't even work out to close your mouth, like, something's gone wrong. And Wendy said, actually, he had a conversation about the news this morning, and he had some political views that would surprise you. And I'm like, Dad, to have a strong opinion on anything is 100% surprising me. And Dad just continues eating and just points at me with the knife and then points at Wendy like, you should listen to her. And just keeps eating, and I'm like, this man does not have any political opinions. Yeah. You are undoing this whole thing.
That's great. It reminds me a lot of my grandfather, actually. Especially with the pointing of the knife.
Yeah.
If it's not in his ear cleaning, he'd be telling you some sort of crazy opinion.
It's brilliant. And this is what I mean. So I feel like I do these stories and I tell these stories, but people almost write the comedy for me in their own minds because they're like, that's your dad, but that's my granddad or my uncle.
Yeah.
I tell these stories about my mum, but everybody's got that person in their family that's super tight with their money.
Yeah.
I tell a story about my mum when we were kids. She would take us to all-you-can-eat buffets, and my mum, and people have this in their families, she would wrap food up in serviettes and put it in her purse. And then that would be our school lunches for the week. Like, that's my mom. But people have them in their family. You know that person.
Very relatable. If you just tuned in, you're on Old New Borough Blue. And my guest today is the very funny Dane Simpson. And he's picking the songs for you today. So can you tell us about your old song, Dane?
My old song. So a lot of my comedy stems from, as I was talking about, from my nan, my dad's side. And I used to hang out with my nan all the time. During the school holidays and stuff, we'd visit. My dad would go to work, and I'd just hang out with my nan. My nan would try and make me laugh, and she'd play her walking stick like a trumpet to songs, and she'd play it like a guitar as well. And it was just, it's just something, and this was one of her favorite songs.
Okay, this is Stand By Me.
Yeah.
By Benny King.
It just reminds me so much of her.
When the night has come and the land is dark,
and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, should tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand by me.
Yeah, that'll be Ben E. King there with Stand By Me. Great choice, Dane. Now, I wanted to ask before, you mentioned Tom Gleason. Who else do you look up to, or who did you look up to growing up?
Tripod were massive for me. Just watching them on the gala every year, and they were just one of my favourite acts. Leno and Woodley, all these really, and one of the guy in particular, Russell Coit. Right, yeah. Glenn Robbins, but particularly Russell Coit is just the bee's knees for me. And then being on the show on Have You Been Paying Attention, my very first time, and their special guest is Russell Coit. And I'm like, no way. I'm meeting way too many like heroes in one go, which is really funny. And I do a story, actually. This is very new. So last month I was on Have You Been Paying Attention, and I did it twice. And the second time I come back to Melbourne, which was, it's a beautiful city, and it just went in the same weekend that the merger was on, which is really, really cool. It's a great movie, and I'm in the background of it,
yes.
Right? That obviously make the movie awesome, and just as an extra. And because I was in town, I turned around and I met Tom Gleason was at the bar, and he just goes, "Hey Dane, how you going?" And I'm like, "This guy knows my name. Like, this is ridiculous." And I fanboy hard, and I'm like, "We're getting photos." I grab my partner. I'm like, "You need to come over here. We're getting photos with Tom Gleason. This is so cool." And the next night we're filming Have You Been Paying Attention. I'm in the green room with Sam Pang, who again is another hero. Yeah. I love him so much. And we're having a chat, and he goes, "So what have you been up to while you've been in Melbourne?" And I said, "Well, actually, last night I went to the merger and I met Tom Gleason, who knew my name." And Sam Pang said, "Is that the end of your story?" Which, and I'm like, "Well, it was fun. Like, it was cool. And like, it's probably not to you, but it is to me. Like, it's amazing." And as I'm talking about this, Ursula Carlson walks in with like all these really cool people, Anne Edmonds, and the rest of who Have You Been Paying Attention guys were walking in, and Ursula's telling a story about she just got back from Montreal, She's getting on the elevator. Amy Schumer's on the elevator. She gets on. She's chatting to her. Wanda Sykes gets on the elevator. She's chatting to her. They make their way to this show. It's Dave Chappelle's show. Dave Chappelle asks them to come on stage because they're part of the comedians. He likes them in the wings while he does his show. I'm just like, oh, my God. And Sam Payne just goes, sorry to cut you off, Ursula, but Dane met Tom Gleason last night.
You got to love Sam Payne.
Oh, my God.
I want to ask you a little bit more about have you been paying attention soon, but you're currently here. You're in Sydney doing the Fringe Comedy.
Yep.
As well as other shows, I just found out.
That's, yeah.
How do you feel when you're on stage? Are you still getting nervous? You've been doing this for 3 years now. How does it...
Yeah, absolutely. I get nervous before every show. I always feel my heart just racing. But a really good comedian that I was lucky enough to hang out with when I first sort of started a couple of years ago, named Shirley Hood. She taught me you're always gonna have butterflies in your stomach, but it's about teaching them to fly in formation, which is such a cool line.
Yeah.
Because you make the nerves work for you. Mm. You are gonna be nervous. But yeah, make them work for you, and it's great because, channel it, use it to be excited. I get a little bit emotional when I'm on stage, and it highlights it when you're a bit nervous and stuff. Just so much stuff is happening. I love that you can convert that on stage, and people just go, oh wow, like you really do care about things, or you really do. I find. The stories, because they're not really my stories. I'm just reporting to the world what's going on. I find them funny too. Like, I laugh.
you play the didgeridoo on stage as well, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
I've seen this. This is great. When did you start doing that?
I started playing the didge when I was about 10 years old. My mum said that it's probably a really cool, important thing to try and get us into our culture and stuff. My mum put up a bet and said I will give money to... the rivalry between me and my brother was fierce back then. I will give money to the person who can play the didgeridoo for a minute. It took me and Kurt a week, and we sat down with Mum, and Mum ended up giving us both money because she's, fair.
Yeah.
But it took me a week to learn. We had that didgeridoo in the toilet, in our bedrooms, everywhere with us.
So you just practiced everywhere you were.
Absolutely. And one of the first stories that I learned when I was a kid was the story of the hitchhiker. And it's about a guy hitchhiking along. And a truck picking him up. And I learned that when I was maybe about 10 years old from one of the guys in Wagga Wagga. And it's such a funny story. And then we're on tour and I was talking to one of the comedians and I was like, oh, you know, I could play the hitchhiker with my didgeridoo. And one of the guys said, why don't you do that on stage? And I'm like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, to me, it's such an old joke. Like it's in Aboriginal culture. That's the story. Like it's okay. So straightforward. It's almost our knock knock joke or why did the chicken cross the road joke. But I didn't realize that mainstream people haven't really sort of been exposed to this. So it was great to really bring that on stage. And I ended up doing it in the Melbourne Festival Gala.
Yeah.
Which was just great and really well received. So that was cool.
Yeah, it is a brilliant joke. I think it's hilarious. Can you tell us about the comedy club you've started?
Yeah. So we've got the Riverina Comedy Club in Wagga Wagga. We started at similar times to me starting comedy. I literally started this club and I'd never been to a comedy club before, right? So this is just what I thought a comedy club should do.
Just guessing, yeah.
And we got a headliner from Melbourne to come along to the show, so that, you know, it wasn't just weird people just trying to be funny. The punters got their value. And it's just been growing stronger and stronger ever since, which is so fantastic. Our next show in October, we've got Claire Hooper coming along.
Oh, great.
Who's just a phenomenal comedian. And it's cool because I get to work with these people, and I don't know if I'm like getting a rep of, hey, you should come to Wagga Wagga. yeah, it's cool. So whenever I'm on tour and I'm doing shows with people, these amazing comedians, I'm renowned for going, all right, by the way, you're locked in for Wagga Wagga next month.
My guest today on All New Borough Blue this week is comedian Dane Simpson, and he's about to tell us about his new song. So what have you gone with?
All right, so with my new song, it's Ed Sheeran, mm-hmm. Perfect, and Eleanor and I, Eleanor's my partner, she is so down to earth and brings me down constantly. Whenever these really cool things happen, she's always there to remind me that I'm an idiot. It's great. I love that. And Ed Sheeran was our first concert that we've ever been to together. It was really cool. So I thought I'd pick a song in remembrance of that. And yeah, just for her.
Cool. This is Ed Sheeran with Perfect.
I found a love for me. Darling, just dive right in. Follow my lead. Well, I found a girl, beautiful and sweet. Well, I never knew you were the someone waiting for me. 'Cause we were just kids when we fell in love, not knowing what it was. I will not give.
Ed Sheeran there with Perfect. You're on Old New Borough Blue, where I'm joined by Dane Simpson. And if that name sounds familiar to you, it's because you may have seen him on Have You Been Paying Attention Monday nights. So, Dane, how did you get involved with that show?
A lot of things, I think, sort of stem from each other. So I did the Melbourne Comedy Festival Gala.
Yep.
And then I think somebody's seen that from Working Dog, which is the production company, for lack of a better term, that do the Have You Been Paying Attention. And then they came and watched my show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. I did a show called Aboriginal with Matt Ford, which is an awesome pun.
You're very proud of it. I love it.
It's great. And And the show went great. So we sold out the entire season. We literally sold 103% of our tickets.
Wow.
Which is just, it's ridiculous. So I have a check. So I only do half the show. Matt Ford comes out and does the other half. Matt Ford is a Brisbane comedian, and he's just absolutely phenomenal. Obviously another Aboriginal young man. And so I'm sitting in the crowd on my little chair for half the show usually. But because we sold out every single show for the entire run, they started to sell my chair. So I had to like stand and watch my own show. It's ridiculous. But that's sort of fun. And then that's where that 103%
comes
from.
Yeah.
And then Working Dog Crew came to the show. We snuck them in and they checked it out. I thought, because they didn't say anything afterwards. If you go to a show and you go, all right, hey, I represent this place. Awesome show, by the way. They didn't do that. They just walked out, and I'm like, oh, no, that's a missed opportunity. But then later, when I was on roadshow, we're touring around, and I got a phone call and just said, hey, we'd like to talk about some dates that you'd like to come on, which is absolutely fantastic. I went in and met Rob Sitch and Santo and Tom Gleisner, and I'm honestly trying hard not to fanboy, right?
Oh, I would die. Like, I would die.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. I'm just like, no way. I'm meeting with these blokes. We're having a sit down sort of thing. And Rob is just chatting to me, and he's going, oh, yeah, I think that your comedy would fit in. And I think that it's so spot on, because I loved going on the show. I thought it was absolutely fantastic, and it does work. Spinning yarns and stuff and just being a little bit silly is how I grew up.
Yeah.
So, and it's fun. And you almost, me and my brother have this competition where we try and come up with funny jokes, and even my uncles, we always do it. We're trying to always tag on a little bit, like a little bit of funny onto something silly.
Yeah. So with this show, like, Have You Been Paying Attention? It's very topical. So do you have to sit down the week before and just watch the news? Is that what you do?
Absolutely. you get as much information as you possibly can, and you try and sort of, like, how I work it out is you go, all right, this is very topical at the moment. I bet that they sort of ask a general question about this. And then just have a bit of an idea. But the other side of that coin too is just, imagine a game show or even a game where if you don't know the answer, still push the button.
Yeah.
Like, it just, that is a mind-blowing thing to get around in your head, because that is very, very difficult. And there's a point there where I remember just going, just push it. Doesn't matter whatever the question is next, just push that button. And then they asked me, where was Survivor being filmed this year? And I pushed it, and I had no idea, and I just said, and it more fell out of my mouth, an American school. And I'm like, no, take that back. I remember Ann Edmonds leaning into me going, enjoy them tweets.
Before we get to your borrowed song, can you tell us about the Aboriginal Comedies All-Stars trip you're a part of?
Oh, that was fantastic. So I did the Aboriginal Comedy All-Stars a few years ago, and that was really my start of doing comedy. So I did a competition called Deadly Funny, which is part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and I won the state round, and I lost the national finals. Which is cool because it's, I love these competitions because you don't really need to win them. They're about getting experience and getting involved and just finally taking that leap and getting amongst it. So from there, the Aboriginal Comedy All-Stars got me on board to do like an opener for them. We ended up doing like 76 performances across Australia. And that was phenomenal. Yeah. And what great experience for me as a comedian who's just started. I literally had done very few gigs leading up to this. In Wagga Wagga, we don't have a comedy club that I could go and like practice my material and stuff at. That's a lot of the reason why I sort of invented this one. And what great exposure to the rest of the country. Like, it's these crowds that are completely different from the day before. And you're in this new town, they have a different sense of humor. It just helped me really refine and really get to know what people in general, mainstream audiences, find funny.
Yeah.
And it was great. So I skipped all the comedy club stuff, which is, you know, it's... it's great, but it's bad. I went straight to theatres.
Yeah. Straight on tour.
Yeah, straight into a tour. This guy, a legend.
All right, Dane, it's time for you to tell us about your borrowed song.
Oh, okay, yeah. So my borrowed song, this is an Archie Roach song originally, and then now it's been done by Eddie Perfect and Tripod. I just love this version. It almost hits everything for me. This is one of my favorite songs. I was lucky enough to perform a Tripod, but also they are one of my favorite comedy acts. Archie Roach is literally the greatest singer-songwriter in my eyes. I just think he's the most beautiful, amazing man who I got to meet recently too, and he's just phenomenal. He's everything that you think that he's going to be, like this... heaven sort of man. This song sort of just combines everything that I love all into one. So it's one of my favorites.
All right, well, this is Perfect Tripod, Little by Little.
Myself, I'm an independent man. So sing it now.
Little by little, stone by stone, gonna build this building on my own, and nobody can say this is mine but me.
Sing it now.
Little by little, stone by stone, gonna build this building on my own, and nobody can say this is mine but me.
When I was a young man, drifting around here and there, from town to town, getting drunk, drinking red wine. Then one day I realized when I met this girl with big brown eyes, whoa, I knew she'd be a friend of mine. So sing it now.
Little by little, stone by stone, gonna build this building on my own, and nobody can say it. This is mine but me.
Sing it down,
little by little, stone by stone.
stone by stone, gonna build this building on my own, and nobody can say this is mine but me.
Ain't nobody gonna tear this building down. Ain't nobody gonna tear this building down. Cause this building is inside of me. Inside of nobody else can see. Ain't nobody gonna tear this building down.
Trouble and we had some strife. Had to quit my drinking, had to change my life. I had to do it for my family. Well, when I quit drinking, it got harder still, and I know there's a way where there's a will, and I won't give up until we all are free. Little by little, stone by stone, little by little, on my own. Little by little, stone by stone. Little by little, on my own. Little by
little, by little, stone by stone, gonna build this building on my own, and nobody can say this is mine but me.
Oh, lovely harmonies there. That's perfect tripod, little by little. So let's step away from comedy just for a little bit. What do you like to do when you're not making people laugh?
I don't really. I hang out by myself a lot. I love writing comedy stuff. So, and whether it would be through like jokes and stuff, or I found recently I love putting together like little sketches and things like that. And I'll put them up on my Facebook. Recently, so earlier this year, there was a sketch about changing the date. They got really popular about changing the date of Australia Day. So I like doing a little things that sort of provoke people as well. I think I genuinely am constantly doing comedy stuff.
Okay.
I pretty much live and breathe it. If you look at my Netflix account and Eleanor's Netflix account, they're vastly different. Mine is just full of comedians. And hers is just full of, like, you know, the dumbest of shows.
Hopefully she won't hear this. Oh, you probably tell her. It doesn't matter.
Oh, she knows. We discuss it constantly. And it's really funny, too, because our Instagrams are very, very different. Mine is literally full of comedians and what they're up to and these silly photos. And hers is, like, all these women half naked, which you would think... That should be the opposite. Like, the mind should be full of that. But, yeah, she loves all of the reality TV and all that stuff. Okay. So she goes on and likes their Instagrams. But it works out great for me because every now and again she'll give me a hint as to who's winning The Bachelor. And then I'll go on Sportsbet and place a bet. Like, and we make money, which is embarrassing, you know. Like, I mainly just tell people I won $140. I don't go on The Bachelor. Yeah.
Oh, I just won it on... what beer do you want?
Sportsbet. Yeah, exactly.
But you were mentioning earlier, you're a DJ as well. You still doing that?
Every now and again, when I find time. I'm touring so often this year, which is fantastic. I love roaming around the country. It's so cool. But yeah, every now and again, when I'm back home, I'll go and do some trivia, which I love to host, and I'll sing some songs. I love doing karaoke and play some tunes, doing DJing.
You mentioned as well before that you're in the film The Merger.
Which comes out later this year, I think.
Yeah.
How did you get involved with that?
It's out now.
Oh, it's out now, is it? Sorry.
Yeah, in some theaters. It's filmed in Wagga Wagga, right? Or it was. And I know Damien Callinan very well. He's such an incredible comedian, and he's such a great bloke. And yeah, I went to the auditions, went and checked it out. Obviously, didn't get a spot, but he did put me in the background, a featured extra. He says, yeah, and yeah, my butt features quite heavily right at the end. So go and watch the movie, check it out. I'm wearing the shortest of short footy shorts, and they're super tight. But because I don't have a butt, they're a little bit loose, and it just doesn't make sense. Like, it's an enigma. But it's on screen for a good minute.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Proud of that.
That's something to tell the kids about. And apart from the merger, where can people see you next?
So we're doing Sydney Fringe. I've got a show on Melbourne Fringe as well. We're revisiting Aboriginal Lol, Matt Ford and I, because we sold out so many tickets, and we figured that there probably would have been some people who didn't get to see the show, so we're redoing that. I'm touring Western Australia in October with a good friend of mine, Rob Edwards. We've put together like a bit of a variety show, so we're really, really keen for that. I'm everywhere.
Yeah, you sound very busy.
But yeah, I tell everyone, just like, go on my Facebook, check it out, obviously, like it. And then, yeah, and I always post my adventures, where I'm up to, where I'm heading to. And yeah, I love when people come and take photos with me and go, oh yeah, put them up on my Facebook. Like, it's great. I love people.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, very cool.
That's fantastic. Dane Simpson, thank you so much for coming on Old New Borough Blue this week. People can catch you pretty much everywhere. Just go outside, you'll probably see him. He's out there somewhere. Get your photo with him. And congratulations on Sydney Fringe and everything you're doing. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
Great work. Now you got to take us out with your blues song.
Yeah, my blues song. The way I interpreted it was a little bit of blue means, particularly in the comedy game, a little bit of swearing. And so I went with Briggs, who's just such a cool guy. But also the song Bad Apples really reminds me a lot of Aboriginal communities, particularly where I grew up, Walgett. But he's obviously talking about Shepparton, which is on the way to Melbourne. But yeah, it's just such a relatable song for me. And yeah, he's just, what a great guy.
Yeah, okay. This is Briggs with Bad Apples.
Gone from stealing bikes to stealing lives. So many young hands grip a stainless steel knife. See a kid they don't like, they're messing him up. What's wrong or what's right is giving less of a fuck. Sticking them up, left, right, stitching them up. Everything revolves around getting the cut. Middle fingers up, fisticuffs, pissing it up. Before the pen license, fisting the cuffs. They don't use them to pack shells, they use them to pack cells. Up in the system before they even crack 12. You can paint a pretty picture using northern pastels, but it's black and white and the ladder still sells. What kind of life is that? They're getting born in town. Teacher can't reach them, I'm getting fucking bored of that. They couldn't spell the name off the bat. I bet you they can tell you where to score a quarter at. They're growing up fast, they're growing up tough. They're giving back everything they never got as a pup. And if they want something, you're giving it up. If they want something, you're giving it up. They're growing up fast, they're growing up tough. They're giving back everything they never got as a pup. And if they want something, you're giving it up. If they want something, you're giving it up. They say one bad apple can spoil a whole bunch. What if all you had was bad apples for lunch? What if all you had was all you could touch? And what if before you even had a dream you were crushed? They weren't raised wrong, they weren't raised at all. You watched the bell break and watched the cradle fall. And now you're surprised when the baby talks and he's asking, what the fuck are you staring for? Where their mothers, huh? Where's their fathers, huh? Here they come with all that fucking drama, bruh. Before you're fixing, there's another one. And the problem's tenfold and the learning tricks younger, cuz. What you want ain't always what you get. Sometimes what you get is like a kick to the head. I guess you can chalk it up to cause and effect, but the core is all rotten and they gotta be fed. They're growing up fast, they're growing up tough. They're giving back everything they never got as a pup. And if they want something, you're giving it up. If they want something, you're giving it up. They growing up fast, they're growing up tough. They're giving back everything they never got as a pup. And if they want something, you're giving it up. If they want something, you're giving it up. It ain't worth it. Who cursed it? Point the fingers at the ones who birthed it. Brought to earth a brand new person. The same ones that called them all worthless and called them good for nothing. I call them cousin. I call them brother and sister, I still love them. Brother and sister, I still love them. Brother and sister, I still love them.